Do y'all know what it is? Say again. Born again. That's one. What's the next one? Huh? Okay, I like that. Taught. Okay. Trained. Good. Amen. Equipped. And what's the last one? Deployed. See, so you'll never be a full-fledged son of God until you walk through all five of those stages. Amen. And most Christians are stuck in stage two. They get taught the word of God. They go to church every Sunday, get fat on the word. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Did you hear that message? Oh, it was good. Well, when are you going to get trained in the message? When are you going to let the Holy Ghost train you in that message? When are you going to go out and begin to be equipped? And it is born again, taught, trained. Now, trained and taught aren't the same thing. I can teach you in the classroom, but you're trained in the field. Okay? And then there's equipping and deployment. And most of the church not equipped. That's why they never get deployed. They stay at home, watch television, watch their favorite preachers on television, and never get deployed. This is why we have this ministry. Oh, Grace, did you get your cup? Okay, Fountain. Hallelujah. This is why many Christians never do anything with the Word of God, because they don't go anywhere. This is why we have the prison ministry. This is why we ask you to come out. This is why we go out on Tuesday night. It's why. So you can be trained. You can be trained. There are so many Christians who want to know what intercessory prayer is, but they've never really done it. Amen. So having said that, I'm not trying to make a bill here for you to come on intercessory prayer, but you need to be trained. Amen. Amen. All right, so now I'm pop quiz. Remember when you said when we was in high school? Pop quiz day, okay? You're going to tell me what we've learned over the last 7 weeks, 8 weeks, okay? All righty. Why did God choose the Jews to give the law to? No, why did God choose the Jews? Good. Had to choose somebody. It could have been the American Indians if they'd have been agreeable with it. He could have chose the Africans. He just chose the Jews. Because of the what? No. God chose Abraham, and Abraham became a nation. Mm-hmm. That's why God called Abraham out, and Abraham agreed. God told Abraham what? Get out your country, get out your land, leave your family, leave it all behind. Many of us will still be stuck on, say what? Leave who? For what? So God chose the Jews because he had to choose somebody, right? I gave you this one, though. So who did God choose first? He chose Abraham. What was their job? Okay, you're in the airport to land the plane. Their job was to what? God gave them the law to what? To obey. Could they obey the law? No. Y'all doing pretty good. Why did God give them the law? Now you can answer that question. That we had a sin problem. See, how do you know that you had a sin problem that somebody told you did? How did you know you need to be born again? Who told you? How come you got born again? Somebody told you that you got a sin problem. Now, at first you went, I'm a good person. I treat people good. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the Jews attempted to keep the law, what did they realize? Why couldn't they keep the law? Because of what? Because they had a sin nature. They couldn't keep the law. Every time they tried to keep the law, there was a power working against them that would not let them keep the law. Y'all doing pretty good. So God declared the whole world good. You're gonna get an extra plate of food tonight or something. So now God charged the whole world guilty, and so God took the sin of the world and laid it on one man. Who was that one man? Who said Adam? Jesus. Okay. In Romans, at the end of Romans chapter 7, around verse 22, what happened? Man, he's good. Changing covenants. In Romans 7 and Romans 8, there's changing covenants. Because that's one part, when the guy says, oh, wretched man, who will deliver me from this all this stuff that I'm doing? So based on Romans 8, what does Romans 8, what does Romans 8, 1 tell us? Okay, what does that mean? It means that God can never condemn you. There's no condemning sentences, especially from God. So if God doesn't condemn you, man can condemn you. So when you're walking around feeling rejected by man, you're allowing a man to condemn you. Shouldn't be. Well, they didn't like me, man. They didn't like Christ. He still died for them. See, we have to get out of the Christianity that we're used to. The Christianity we're used to is a selfish Christianity. Pastor, you said that word, selfish? Sure did. Most of the church is selfish. We believe God got us born again to go to heaven. God didn't get you born again to go to heaven. I know for some that's a shock. But God didn't get you born again to go to heaven. You are born again to be made or to be put back into the image of God. You are made to be in the image of God so the world could see what God can do living through you. That's why you're born again. You are made to reflect and show His glory that He put inside of you. Amen? Let's talk about the Ten Commandments, and then I'm going to get into my subject tonight. The Ten Commandments do what? What do they do? The Ten Commandments describe the righteousness of God, which the Jews could not keep. Because instead of them becoming righteous, what did it do? It exposed their sin. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have the Ten Commandments in you?
Yes.
Absolutely you do. So what should the Ten Commandments be for you? What do they mean to you? Your new nature, the nature of God that's inside of you, looks just like those Ten Commandments. The law is holy and was righteous. That's why God, Jesus, went to the cross, paid the price for you, and now those Ten Commandments moved inside of you. Now the thing is this. The Jews were married to what?
The law.
Okay. Which was, what is the law synonymous with to us? No. The law is synonymous to our fallen nature. So the Bible says, remember reading this in Romans 7? He says, as long as a man, as long as a woman is married to her husband, and she divorces him, and if she marries another man, as long as that first husband lives, she becomes a what? An adulterer. And everybody goes around teaching, man, if you are divorced, as long as your wife, your ex-wife is still married, and you get married again, you are an adulterer. You don't understand the Bible. And what Matthew 5 was talking about was a change in covenants. He's talking about Jesus died. The Jews were married to the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. Why? Because he died, and he became a new husband. Well, those now that you're born again, those laws now are on the inside of you. Now, here's your problem. Their problem was the law. Your problem is called an unrenewed mind. That's what you're struggling with. So you, and the thing is this, your unrenewed mind is always criticizing who you are. Your unrenewed mind is always telling you what you did in the past. It's always telling you where you failed. It's always telling you, you're an African-American and nobody in this country loves you because you're an African-American. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to be anything. You'll always be on the bottom of the totem pole. You'll never rise up into supremacy. Now, let me flip the script. Women, same thing. You allow the enemy to tell you that you had to go out and be equal to a man. God already made you equal. Don't shout me down now. God already made you equal. But because of your unrenewed mind, the world said, no, we want to get paid equal to what a man gets paid. And you went out and fought that battle for why? Jesus won that battle for you on the cross. You already won that battle on the cross. And there are women in the church today that will say, I don't know why this man gets paid more than I do. I do the exact same job, blah, blah, blah. If you would just understand who you are, Jesus, he'll take good care of you. I promise you that. He's not asleep. He understands the whole thing. He's not sitting up there going, well, I guess round two today. Let's see what they'll do. Maybe they'll catch on. But your unrenewed mind is working against you because it keeps telling you where you fail and where you don't measure up. And until we understand that's the Trojan horse on the inside of us, and we allow that thing to quit talking to us all during the night, when you're going through a problem, why does the problem become who you are? Why do you identify the problem with who you are? That problem is not who you are. I remember when I was raised that the white man is holding me down. God took me in the bathroom one day and said, you see that guy in the mirror? I said, yeah. He said, that's the guy holding you down. It's us. And the enemy used that against us. And what the church has got to realize is this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from all that stuff. We've been bought back. You've been made in the very image of God. You are in God's image. And until you understand that God loves you as much as he loved Jesus, until you understand that you've been made in the image of him, and what is God's image? What is God's image? When you think of God, what do you think about God? You think of righteousness, but give me the first one. Love. So if you have been made in the image of God, you have been made in love. So why are you running around here thinking nobody loves you? Why are you thinking that you've been, because my daddy drank and beat on me and beat on my mama and did all those things, why do I have to reflect on those things and think that's who I am? That's not who I am. Who I am is I am God's son. That's who I am. All rights and privileges have been restored. Now, in Romans chapter 8, there are two laws that were introduced here. What are those two laws? The first one is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm going to talk about that one last. I want to briefly mention the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was released the day that Adam fell. And when that law fell, when that law was released in the earth, it created all kinds of disturbances. It created all kinds of changes. And so, my brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. This is why you cannot look at the world and try to figure out who you are. If you allow the world to identify you, if you allow the world to tell you what should be your norm, you are going to be a messed up Christian. The world says things like this. I don't get mad, I... Sound to me you've been to the same school I went to. Huh? You see, all those things are what govern us while we were in the world. And that law of sin and death, it'll produce death in you. Because all you'll see is death. You'll see your faults. You'll see your failures. You'll see all of these things. One of the things that I'm really upset about it in the kingdom right now, and it's not God's fault, it's our fault. I see the word, the big C word. When a Christian see the big C word, we shake. Oh. And I'm not being disrespectful. But cancer should not make us shake. The other one I see is anxiety and depression. These two things are just wearing the church out. And I'm not being insensitive here, but anxiety and depression is simply one thing. You think about yourself too much. Don't shut me down now. You are always on your mind. It's always about you. God, how come I don't have this? God, how come my life is so rough? God's giving you everything that you need. He's probably up there asking you, when are you going to wake up and smell the coffee and start getting everything I gave you? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law that you live by now. And here's the thing. You have the choice to live in either one of those two laws anytime you want to, just because you can. Those two laws can be compared to a law of gravity. The law of gravity says this. If I let this phone go, what's going to happen to it? How do you know that? How do you know that? Okay, so you mean it happens every time? Why? Because it's a law. It happens every time. There is a law that is higher than that law called the law of sin and death. That law I compare to the law of lift. You see those planes? They put wings on a big old apparatus with a motor on it. And they get that thing going on a runway, and it creates a thing called lift. And that plane lifts up, and it supersedes gravity. Now, let me ask you a question. When that plane is flying, and they are operating in the law of lift, is the law of gravity done away with? No. The law of lift just simply supersedes the law of gravity. When that guy pulls back on that rudder or pulls back on that thing he does and slows that plane down, what's going to happen? That plane is going down. If you as a born-again child of God, you have the capacity to live like Jesus lived, just like he did on the earth. Or you have a capacity to live like the worst sinner in the world. It's your decision. It's your decision. Now, the thing is, you may, if the enemy, I'm not saying the enemy does not attack. I'm not saying the enemy doesn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you make that your focus point, he will wear you out. You have to make the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus your focal point. You have to focus on that. You have to focus on who you are in Christ. You have to focus on the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have to begin to talk to yourself that he is holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one. There's no one else like him. He is holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And if he's that holy, why would a holy God put you in a place where you can be destroyed? He did not do that. Now, this is why you have to walk the floor. This is why you have to get in your bedroom, get in your bathroom, and you have to begin to tell yourself, Holy Spirit, Spirit of grace, on the inside of me, begin to transform my mind, transform my heart, fashion me to the kind of love that suffers long, is patient, it's kind, a kind of love that's not, envy, it does not vaunt itself, it's not puffed up, it's not easy provoked, the kind of love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, the kind of love never fails. Amen. Until then, you're not releasing faith. All you simply do is just stirring up your problem. But you got to begin, as Galatians 5:18 says, sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and make melodies in your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. Begin to worship him. Man, when I learned about worship several years ago, I just like everybody else, I was like, where do you start with this? And the Holy Spirit says, well, you go in that room, shut the door, and just start worshiping him. I say, is that simple? He goes, it's just that simple. But you know what happened when you go into that room and close the door? Let me tell you what you'll do if you haven't done it before. You'll think about how worthless you are. You'll think about how ugly you are. You'll think about the last thing you did wrong. And you know why I know that? Because that's what the devil reminded me. Do you know what you just said to your wife about 5 days ago? You know what you said to her an hour ago? Do you know how bad you were to her an hour ago? You're going to come in here and worship God? You must be out your mind. God is not going to receive your worship. And what's happening? You're operating under the law of sin and death. You're allowing that law, your unrenewed mind, to tell you what you can't do. Your unrenewed mind is telling you who you are. But if you can bypass that thing, how? Just operate in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And just say, God, I give you praise. I don't know whether I should or not, but I think I should give you praise. And I worship you and magnify you. All of a sudden, one day, he'll come and meet you right where you are. He'll come. He'll come. He'll become as real to you as the person sitting next to you. He'll become so real to you, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you'll say, Jesus. And he'll say, is there anything wrong? Somehow? Because why? He remains calm all the time. Devils don't scare him. When you get all uptight, he's wondering, what are you upset about? I told you, I brought him the note. I've defeated him. He's defeated. So when you go in your prayer closet and close that door and you begin to worship him and magnify him, just know the enemy's going to come in right behind you. And he's going to start telling you how ugly you are, how bad you acted. Why would God want to receive your praise? Why do you think you're so worthy that God received praise? Just tell him, shut up. I'm holy. I'm holy. And begin to worship him. And you may do it at first. You're thinking it's kind of rote or it's just kind of dry. But remember, this is what God wants. God wants a relationship with you more than anything else. More than your tithe and offerings, he wants a relationship. More than you singing in the choir, he wants a relationship. More than you ushering on an aisle, he wants a relationship. More than you doing anything else for him, he wants a relationship. Before you go out and pray for the sick, he wants a relationship. This is why a lot of people, when they pray for the sick, they don't see results. Why? Because they have no relationship with him. You've got to spend time with him. You cannot let your service take the place of your worship. Now that's, listen, I should stop right there because that is the heart of my message. And that ain't what I'm teaching on tonight. He wants a relationship. And what I want to do in this training center is to teach you how to have a relationship. Because if you can learn to have a relationship, nothing will ever move you. You may be hit hard. You may be rocked. But you know what? You'll come back and go, what is wrong with me? I give you praise. I worship you. Why? He's God before I came to the problem. And he'll be God while I'm in the problem. And he'll be God when I come out of the problem. Amen. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. What about them three guys? Man, they came in that fiery furnace and they said, King, he said, we're not going to bow. He said, turn the thing up 7 times hotter. That we don't care how hot you get that bad boy. How many of you prayed for something and the symptoms got worse? How many went into your prayer closet and instead of it getting better, it got worse? How many begin to worship God and you think he's getting further and further and further away? He ain't coming near to me. You know what's happening? The enemy is calling your bluff. He wants to see how serious you are. He's going to try and talk you out of standing in your prayer closet. He's going to try and talk you out of get out of your worship closet. He wants you to say, well, that fast-talking black preacher don't know what he's talking about. There's no way you can worship God. I'm telling you, you can worship the man. You can worship him in spirit and in truth. And not only that, he seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for me. Where you been, Elvin? Where you been? Jesus, we sleep down here at least for 8 hours. He'll wake me up. Get up. What is it? Get up. What do you want? Get up. Why? He wants fellowship. He wants time with you. He wants time with you. He wants time with you. And if you'll spend time with him, you'll become a mature son of God. Now let us get over yourself. I can be the bride of Christ. You can be a son of God. How many of you know what is the key verse, one of the key verses that we've used in these classes? Romans chapter 6:14 says what?
Sin has no dominion over you.
Sin can't, in other words, when you're sitting there and you're going to that problem is right in your face and you want to go, oh, I can't stand this. That thing has no dominion over you. It has no dominion over you. Now, here's how it gets dominion over you. Well, how are we going to figure this out? I wonder how are we going to fix this problem? When is it going to be fixed? How is it going to be fixed? How long is it going to take? No, that's his tactics. You got to believe, I have prayed. I have worshiped him. I have committed this thing to him. He's got it handled, and let him do his thing. And what do you do in the meantime? You spend time giving him praise. So again, Romans 7 and 8, there was a change in covenants. And so the thing is this, those 10 commandments are on the inside of us. Sin has no dominion over you. Now go over to Romans chapter 3. And it says, what the law could not do in that it was weak. What was weak in the law? Why was the law weak? Why couldn't they keep the law? Because they had a sin nature. They were weak in their flesh. Your old fallen nature. But Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why did Jesus come in the likeness of sinful flesh? He came to condemn sin in the flesh. So how did he condemn sin in the flesh? First, he fulfilled the law. Then he died in your place, and he became your sin sacrifice. And then he gave you his nature, the same nature that he received from God. Now, this is where it's going to start to get interesting. Now, the righteousness of the law is now fulfilled in us. Jesus came. My goodness. How did I get way down there? Let me hurry up here now. I don't want to run out of time. I'm leaving Romans 3. Jesus came, became our sin sacrifice, so that the righteousness of the Lord, the law, might be fulfilled in us. The thou shalt not get fulfilled in us by what Jesus did for us on the cross. The law has been fulfilled inside of you. So is the law inside of you?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, why is that important? Because the law is righteous. The law represents your new nature. You want to know what your new nature looks like? It's everything in the law. The thou shalt not. All that got fulfilled in you. Amen. Now, when you subject yourself to minding those things after the flesh, guess what? You become a prisoner of those things under the law. When you start minding yourself of who you are not, how you have failed, what you don't have, how you think you're coming up short, all of a sudden now you put yourself back under the law. But when we mind the things of the Spirit, we subject ourselves to the right standing of the law, which is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:3. They that walk after the Spirit are not subjected to the new law, the law of the Spirit of life, are subjected to the new law, the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. But when you attempt to fulfill the law, you're subjecting your mind under the law of sin and death. The thing is this, you cannot fulfill the law. The law is fulfilled in you. You don't walk after the law. What do you walk after? The Spirit of life. You follow the new nature. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 1, he kind of tells you how you do that. It is basically your conscience talking to you and all the while excusing or accusing. In other words, when God says, listen, that is something God wants you to do, instead of you going, well, why not? How come I can't do that? What's wrong with doing that? You're violating your conscience. You're violating your conscience. Now, what happens is you keep violating your conscience and you'll sear your conscience. When you sear your conscience, you can't hear from God. And then you walk around going, I don't hear God. I don't hear God. I ain't heard God before. I don't know why I can't hear God. I've had so many students tell me that. You know what I tell them? Yes, you can hear God. And I ask them, do you pray in tongues? Yeah, I pray in tongues. You can hear God. How do I know that? When you go, that's God talking to you. That's it. That's the frequency. Now, if you learn how to zero in on that frequency, if you learn how to, like we talked before in these classes, how to hear the voice of God, if you'll train yourself, one day that those tongues will turn into English. And you'll hear them very clearly.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Now, if you subject yourselves to the law of the Spirit of life, you cannot be subjected to the dominion of sin. And one of the ways to subject yourself to this kind of freedom is what? How do you continually subject yourself to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? I just said it. I'm subjecting myself to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Remember, the victory is already in you, and nothing or no one can take your victory away from you unless you allow it to be taken from you. If you continue to walk after the Spirit, your new nature, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You have to learn that your conscience is the voice of your new nature. You must learn that your conscience is the voice of your new nature. If you don't obey the voice of your conscience, you are violating your conscience and you'll begin to walk after the flesh. And that's what I see so many Christians doing. I see a lot of them doing that. And they don't understand why they're doing it. It's because they have not been taught to listen to the voice of that conscience. Listen to the voice of God. Listen, if I walked into Walmart and I stole a phone, put it under my shirt, or put it in my pocket, and walked out with it, what's going to happen from the moment I put it in my pocket and walk out of there if I'm born again? Man, something's going to tell me you shouldn't do this. You better not do this. This is wrong. You're going to go to jail. You better put it back. Stop. Or I can go, no, I need this, man. I'm going to take this. I got to have this. I've got to have me one of these, man. I've been coveting one of these for a long time, and I finally got one. And I guarantee I'm going to walk out of here, and I'm not going to be caught. What is that operating in my life? The law of sin and death. Now, can I just really get in your face tonight? Single people. Oh, my biological clock is ticking, Pastor. I've got to find me a man. Oh, I gotta find. I need to be held. I gotta be cared for. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. You're not walking after the spirit. You're walking after the flesh. You're trying to get your needs met through somebody else besides God. When the devil took Jesus up on the mount and said, listen, all of these things will I give you if you'll just bow down and praise me. He says, you see, this is the world. I run all this, Jesus. It belongs to me. It's mine. And I can give it to anybody that I can. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. You ain't got to go to the cross. You ain't got to be beat with 39 stripes, nails in the hand, nails in the feet, a spear in the side, crown of thorns. You don't have to go through that, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me and you'll have it. And Jesus says, I'm going to have the world, but I ain't worshiping, bowing down to you. And he went the long way around, didn't he? He could have took a shortcut and said, wow, Father, look what he's offering here. He goes, no, going the long way around. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it my Father's way, yes. Not your way. And oftentimes, you want to do it your way and not the Father's way. You want the shortcut. You want to get it over with. You want to get on with life. I want victory. People say, well, why does God let me suffer like this? God's not letting you suffer like this. You have consequences because you've made some wrong decisions. And you're going to have to walk through those consequences. But God still loves you. Let me go on. Go down to Romans 8:6. Somebody read Romans 8:6. And this is where I'm going to stop tonight. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 9. Now listen to these real close. I want you to listen to this verse of scripture.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Stop. Why is it? What does carnally minded? Why is carnal minded means death?
Because you move by your five senses. Because sin is death.
Because the carnal mind cannot be subject to the things of God. It never can be subject to the things of God. It will never submit. The Bible says your unrenewed mind, your carnal mind, is an enmity against God. In other words, it's irreconcilable. It's irreconcilable. Go ahead.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Go ahead. Come on.
Neither indeed can be.
Go ahead.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Now, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, many of you are going to think he's talking about me having a bad hair day. Everything is going wrong. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about whether or not you're born again. Go ahead.
But ye are not in the flesh.
See, you're born again now. There's been a change of covenants. In Romans 7 and 8, it was changing covenants. You no longer have a fallen nature. You have a new nature. Okay, go ahead.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
You're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. Go ahead.
If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
If the spirit of God dwell in you. Go ahead.
None of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Let me explain a little bit. If Christ be in you, the body, the old sin nature is what he's saying, it's now dead. Where sin got its operation or its power to come against an unregenerated man was from that sin nature. That's what gave it power. Who do you think was the source of that power? Do you think it's changed?
No.
He's still ruling and reigning over all fallen natures. Amen? But the thing is this. You are now, that's been removed from you. That thing is not there. But guess what still is there? Guess what that old sin nature left behind? It left an unrenewed mind and your body that's still tempted, that can still be taunted if you let it. But you have victory over it right now. Whether you realize it or not, you have victory over it right now. Go ahead. Are you done reading that passage?
He got through 10.
You got through 10? Now, I want to talk about this term called the Spirit of Christ. Can anybody tell me what the Spirit of Christ is? See, that's where you know. It's not there. That's not who it is. He doesn't talk about the Holy Ghost until verse 16. So let me tell you. So Jesus' Spirit is in my spirit. So I got Jesus' Spirit. No. Jesus got his own spirit. I ain't got Jesus' Spirit. Let me explain it this way. Before I was born again, I had the spirit of Adam. Did I have Adam's spirit? No. Adam has his own spirit. But what I had was Adam's what? Adam's nature. Come on now. You getting this now? See, Adam had his spirit. And I have my own spirit, but I had Adam's nature. And that nature got what? It got passed down to me from my great-great-great-great-great-great-great grandfather, Adam. Now, the Spirit of Christ is not the Holy Spirit. He has his own spirit. Jehovah, God, is not the Spirit of Christ. Now, why am I clarifying this? Because I want you to understand you've been born again. And the key of you being born again is in this scripture. And you've read it so many times, you just pass right over it. Jesus is not the Spirit of Christ. Jesus in his humanity is a person. And you're not baptized into the Spirit of Jesus. But when I got born again, I no longer had the spirit of Adam, but I received the Spirit of Christ. Now, did I have Christ's spirit? No. I now have Christ's nature. So what I'm saying is this. The spirit of Christ that's in me is not Christ's spirit. It is Christ's nature that is in me. I have his nature. To make this a little clearer, go over to John chapter 5, verse 26, and somebody read that. And this is what happened to you the day you got born again. This is a perfect illustration of what happened to you when you got born again. Chapter 5, verse 26. Big John 5, 26. Big John. Not little John, Big John. You know what I mean by Big John? Big John is not 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. That's little John. Big John is the book of John, the Gospel of John. Hold on. Read it again.
For as the Father has life in himself.
Hold on. The Father has life within himself. Go ahead.
So he has granted the Son to have life in himself.
Who has?
The Son.
So here's what the Father did. The Father reached inside of himself and put this life in Jesus. Now, when you got born again, guess what the Father did to you? He didn't go get an angel's life. He didn't go get Adam's life. He got his own life, and he put that life inside of you. You are walking around, ladies and gentlemen, with the life or the light of God within you. Now, if you really knew what that meant, and one day it'll hit you, you'd be running around this room. When I figured that out, I'm going, I am just like him. I have his spirit within me. He lives in me. He is in there. Let me ask you a question. If I came to live with you and I had nice furniture, a whole bunch of money, brand new cars, but I moved in with you, what am I bringing with me? I'm bringing the furniture, I'm bringing the money, and I'm bringing the cars. Isn't that right? And hopefully, I'm going to let you drive them and let you sit on the furniture and let you spend some of the money. Ain't that right? Well, if God moved inside of you, did God come in to do one thing? Did he just come in and go, oh, this is nice. Oh, I love this temple. Oh, man, this is beautiful. Oh, this is great. Why did he move in? When he moved in, what did he bring with him? His coffee cup? Did he bring extra baggage? What did he bring with him? We just sung it tonight. He's what? He's holy. He brought his holiness with him. And that's inside of you right now. That's in you right now. Whatever you need him to provide for you, he brought it with him the day you got born again. It's in you right now. Now let me say this. He's not your genie in a bottle for you to rub on him. And all of a sudden he manifests things for you. That's what we have to get over. No, he is your heavenly father. Let me ask you a question. How many in this room had a father, a good father? Let me see your hand. I'm talking about a father that you hung out with, the one that communed with you, the one that protected you. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to have that kind of a father, okay? But I've got one now, okay? But he's a good father. And the thing is this, a good father always takes care of his children, right? Men, good fathers, they go through no expense, especially over you daughters. They will do anything. Y'all come in there with batting them eyes. Daddy. Daddy. You know, the guys come in there. You got to go, hey, Pops, look at here. Listen, man. You know, you help me out a little bit here. We got to do a little begging. But not with your heavenly father. He didn't operate that way. You're the apple of his eye. He brought you into royalty. He believes you have so much potential, it blows your mind if he ever told you that one time. It will blow your mind. But the thing is this, he's got to get you quit looking on your failures, on your hiccups, on your past stuff, and you start looking on what he brought with him. See, he wants you to look around one day and go, wow, can I sit on this couch? I never had a couch like this before. And that bed you put in that room. Can I go in there and sleep in that bed? He goes, anything in here you want and use, have at it. Now, when you have and develop that kind of attitude, nothing and absolutely nothing will be impossible unto you.
Hallelujah.
That's what it means that the Spirit of Christ lives in you. See, the thing is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Do you remember when when God promised Abraham to have a child, was the problem with Abraham? No, because Abraham can see the child with Sarah. Hagar. So the problem was with Sarah. But he told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. What he was saying, he asked Abraham this in Romans 4:17. Do you believe I can quicken the dead? And Abraham said, I believe you can do anything. Yeah, you can quicken the dead. He says, good. Because I'm going to quicken the dead one day. What God was talking about, God the Father was talking about, was quickening Jesus from the dead. But what he was referring to Abraham was, I'm going to quicken Sarah's womb from dead to life. Amen. This is why when God changed a man's name in less than 90 days from changing his name from Abram to Sarah conceived and had a son 9 months later. At 99. Thank you very much. He was 99 years old. Isn't that right? She was 90 years old. He was 99 years old. How many 99-year-old men you know going around and pregnant? Well, I don't go there. I'm not. Just leave that alone. So now, John 5:26, it says, as the Father has life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. Now, if we go over to John 1:12, somebody read that, please. John 1:12. And it says something like this. To as many that received him, Jesus, he gave them to be the sons of God. He gave them what? He gave them power to do what? To become sons of God. The Son gave you the power to become a son, Miss Vivian, or daughter of God. The Son has given you life, not just life, he's given you Zoe, the same life that the Father has, to have life within yourself. The same law that quickened his spirit from the dead is the same law that has quickened my life from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, do you understand the implications of that? Do you realize you have a spirit in God's class? Do you realize there's no failure in you? So why do we get up in the morning going, I wonder if this is going to work out for my good? I wonder if I'm going to make it today. You know what you ought to be saying? Transform my mind to your success. Transform my heart to see what you've already done for me. Because why? It is an evil one. It is El Diablo that is trying to penetrate your mind to make you think that you're not going to make it. You ought to be telling yourself every day, this is going to turn. God's doing something to me. I know he is. God's doing something in me. Something's happening in me. I'm changing. I'm being molded. I'm being transformed. I'm changing. Glory to God. See, you need to communicate those things to yourself. Why? They are true. But if you never hear yourself say them, the devil can walk up and say, you as ugly as they come. You know what you're going to say? You must be right, because I got no friends. See, we get talked out of these things. We get talked out of eternal life. We get talked out of walking with the Father every day. We get talked out of our prayer time. We get talked out of our private worship time. We get talked out of it, because you know why? Because we don't think that God told us the truth, but he did. And if you'll begin to have fellowship with the Father, you'll begin to see that everything he promised you was true. And you don't have to go through all kinds of different word studies and tear the scriptures apart. All you got to do is just sit down and spend time praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost will begin to reveal the Word of God to you. He'll begin to reveal the promises of God to you. He'll begin to reveal who you are, who the truth of who you are. And let me tell you something. If you're somebody that needs a lung, if you got enough guts to believe God, if you can hang in there long enough in front of him until your mind changes, you'll get a new lung. Amen. Don't shout me down. He'll give you whatever you need if you got enough guts to stay in his presence until you get it. He did not give you these promises so he could tease you with them. He gave them to you because, listen, how many of you would pay $50,000 for a Pinto? Y'all know what a Pinto is? Y'all know what a Pinto is? Not a horse, but a car. Okay. All right. Not poquito, Pinto. All right. So how many would pay $50,000 for a Pinto? And for the sake of the recording, there are no hands going up. So let me ask you a question. Why would the Father send his Son the best thing heaven has to redeem you? Do you really think he overpaid for you? No. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at your failures. He's looking at your potential. He's looking at the image in you. He's looking at what he created you to be. He's looking at what you can do and change and the influence you can have in the world if you would simply begin to spend time with him and let him transform your mind into that kind of being. Why? Because his Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You have been born again. You've been born from above. You need to make a cognizant decision that I'll never forget. I've been born from above, especially when you're going through a problem. Just remember, I've been born from above. I don't have a right to have fear. Now, the fear may still be there because your mind has not been renewed, but you got to get to a place where you go, fear, shut up. Amen. Shut up. Now, how do you tell your fears to shut up? How do you do that? I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you. I magnify your name. You are the one that's going to bail me out of this. You're going to take care of me. You've made me for greatness. I've been made in your image. I am a king's kid. I'm destined for royalty. I am a child of the Most High God. You're not going to see me fail. If you start talking to yourself like that, fear will go, I'm out of here. Folks, these things are not hard to do. You just got to go do them. This room should be filled up right now, because the church is hungering. Why? If we have all these things, why don't we have them, Pastor? It's because you haven't appropriated them yet. Because you spend too much time watching your favorite pastor on TV asking you to send him or her a buck so his television program won't go under. You want to send him $17.75 so your loving can get born again. You listen to all that stuff. And when God's going, listen, I'm on the inside. Listen to me. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That quickening, he made you alive. God took out of himself this own life that was in him, and he put that life in you. Whatever you see God can do, you can do. Now, you may not be able to make a universe just yet, but bless God, one day we all ought to make a point. We're going to Galveston, and we're going to all walk on water. Glory to God. Now, you may think I'm getting a little high here, but you know what? Until we start thinking like that, you know what we always say? Well, we sink when we get on water. We always sink. Why do you say that? Because that's what happens to the world. The world sinks when it walks on water. But a child of God should be just like Jesus. And we ought to say, Jesus bid me to come. He goes, come. And you ought to just splash on out there in the middle of that ocean, man. Did Peter walk on the water? What makes Peter so special than you? Actually, Peter at that time didn't have a born again spirit. Peter did not have the Spirit of Christ in him. When you compare yourself to one of those disciples, you're cutting yourself short. When you compare yourself even to the Apostle Paul, you're cutting yourself short. You know why? The Bible tells you explicitly, quit comparing yourselves to other people. You know who you compare yourself to? Jesus. That's it. And if Jesus multiplied the food, guess what? And I'm getting hungry. Glory to God. If Jesus multiplied the food, we can multiply the food. Now, the thing is this. When your mind does this, I don't see how that's possible. Do you realize what you're doing? You are being proud. You're being proud. Now, what does God do with pride? He resists the proud. He resists them. But when you go, God, one day I want to walk on water. One day I want to be able to feed 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fishes. One day I want to be walking in a room and my shadow just gets people healed. And most people say, you're just being arrogant. You're just being a know-it-all. No, I'm being like Christ. That's who I'm being like. Why? The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And I remind myself of that. Why? I've been born from above. I have everything that God has. I have everything the Father has. That's in me. Now let me say this. I will never be equal to Jesus in his deity. But I can be everything he was in his humanity. Do you understand the difference in that? Everything he had, I can have, because I can be as just, as proficient as he was, if not better, in his humanity. And until the church changes our mindset, until we begin to realize that spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, you'll think you have the spirit of the world. You'll think you still got Adam's spirit. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you don't. You don't. But what you do have is an unrenewed mind. And until you spend time in relationship with God one-on-one, daily, in your private prayer closet, in your home, in your car, in your throne, wherever you want to meet with God. Yeah, I meet with him on the bathroom, sure do. Yeah, absolutely. I ain't ashamed to say that. Absolutely. I'm sitting doing my business. I give you praise. He's not going, oh, son, that's not what he's doing. That's not what he's doing. That's what you would do. See, that's your mindset. But that ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is, Yes, yes, that's who you are. Yes, amen. Keep saying that. I'm going to have the spirit of grace, and the grace is in you. He's going to mold you, conform you, fashion you to look just like Jesus. Wherever you are, begin to make those confessions to yourself. Transform your mind to it. God wants you to. Now, here's the other thing. Until you transform yourself to love, then you're being selfish. You're being selfish. See, if we go to the prisons with the whole idea of we're in a ministry, he ain't moved by that. You know what he was moved by? You go there because you love those people. You love them. If we come here with one idea, God, I want to hear more about you, and I want to have as much knowledge as I possibly can, so when I get around my friends, I can speak intelligently about the Bible and the Word of God. Wrong. You know why we assemble here? To learn to love God and to learn to love the unlovable. That's why we're here. And you can't love anybody if you have a fallen nature. And until you get your mind renewed, that new nature on the inside of you, it's ready to love on people that don't love you. Let me ask you a question. Think about your worst enemy right now. Can you love them? Don't answer that question. Now, if you say yes, you can love them, go home and pray for them. And I mean pray for them. Because until you love them, you can't pray for them with effect. Now, for some of you, you're going, give me some Kool-Aid with that, Pastor, because I can't swallow that pill. I get it. You know why? Because your mind hasn't been renewed. Your prayer is not effective if you're praying for people that you do not love. You've got to love these people. What do you think about love is faithful? I mean, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, it doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't boil up with jealousy. What do you think those things mean? I'll pray for them, but gosh, I don't know why God won't do anything with you. That's not God's love. You've got to love them. And this is why we assemble, so we can teach each other, challenge each other to love God first and take that love that we have for God and love people that try to harm us. Are you hearing me? We can pray for people in this room and they will not get healed if all we want to do is brag and show about, we had 5 folks healed of AIDS. We had 10 people healed with a broken arm. Man, we got things happening in our Bible study. That ain't what God's into. He heals them because he loves them. He loves humanity. He loves humanity. He loves you. He doesn't look at you in your sickness and disease or whatever you're going through and go, you know what? I just got something against you. No. That's your old unrenewed mind thinking. His thought is, I want to heal you. I've been wanting to heal you, but I've gone as far as I can with you, and I can't go any further until you begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That spirit of Christ resides in you. You have been born again. Remind yourself of that every single day. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody in here need a touch from God tonight? Amen.